G'day there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. It's men's breakfast time again. Yep, my favourite time of the month, each month here on the calendar at my local church. And look, it's Christmas time as well, my favourite time of year. How good is that? Well, let's get straight into it today. We've got a lot to go through. I love this season, and I love the message that we're bringing today as well. So grab your Bibles for me, turn to 1 John chapter 3. Now, while you're doing that, so much that we could be talking about. Christmas time, of course, and the typical Christmas message. If you've been around for any length of time in church over a few years or more, then, you know, we've got the nativity scene. We've got, you know, baby Jesus. We've got Mary. We've got Joseph. We've got the shepherds who come along. And we've got the angels out in the fields, peace and goodwill to all men. We've got the wise men coming in, following the star. So many different things that we could be talking about. Last Sunday, our pastor had a great message looking at Christmas from Joseph's point of view. And we could take the same angle on so many different things. And I know for us, as blokes, this is a men's breakfast video. For us, as blokes, Christmas can mean so many different things. For some, we've got our food. Yes, we love our food. Family, perhaps. Presents, gifts, perhaps. Maybe a little bit of chaos. Maybe a little bit of, you know, stress. Yeah, I get that. But also, for some of us, yes, honestly, it can be a reminder of loss as well. But I want to speak over all of that and through all of that. No matter what Christmas is for us in the flesh, I want to speak to us for what it is in the spirit today. And if I was to give a title to our message today, it would be The Three Gifts of Christmas for Men This Year. Even today, as you're listening to this here right now, perhaps if you've come across it through the year, three gifts from the cross of Calvary. Yes, for Christmas, related as well, the purpose of his coming. And Jesus did come. Don't misunderstand this, but with a very clear purpose. So if you're taking notes, and I hope that perhaps some of you are taking notes, I'm going to give you these three gifts right here, right now, right up front. I'd like you to dig into them a little further, perhaps after this message also, because it's only a limited amount of information I can give in a 30-minute video, but so much more, these gifts. Number one of these gifts, victory over the enemy. Oh, yes. Number two, freedom. Freedom from the guilt that we so often as men carry. And number three is that new life, abundant life in Christ. I want to speak into these three different gifts, and two of them are mentioned right here in 1 John chapter 3, which is why we've just turned to there. Have a look for me if you would. Chapter 3 in 1 John verse 8. For this reason, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, as we go through this, if we were to take the time, and another time perhaps, we were to go through all of 1 John, you would see that there are, I think it's nine times across seven different verses, we see the Greek word phaneroo for manifested. Now, in today's modern language, English language, and the New Age movements that are in the manifested, it's often referred to, you know, if I speak it, it will come kind of thing, and we manifest things from our words. That is absolutely not what we're talking about here. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, meaning the Son of God appeared. He appeared into history, God stepping out of eternity into our temporal timeline, coming as a man, fully God. As for this purpose, which purpose? We'll come to that in a second. But the Son of God was manifested. And this is what happened in that first Christmas, if I can call it that. That's what we call it now. But this is what happened when Jesus was born into the world. But what is the purpose of his coming? Well, here we see one of them, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Things like, well, death, but depression, depression, oh my. Destruction. Destruction in people's lives. And for us, as men, too often we leave a trail of destruction and the enemy even working through us, even when we're supposed to be Christian. Yeah, that can happen too. But Jesus has come. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. If I could sum it up, I guess, into one verse, Jesus came to break up and to pull down what the devil has been building in men's lives. And I know this, ladies, I know this, if you're listening, it applies to you too, absolutely. But as I speak to men so often, so sadly, we lead the way and the charge in such things. And I was thinking, as I was putting this together, as I was praying about this over weeks, how do I, in such a short period of time, how do I express and discuss what these different works are of in our lives that we need to destroy? And I could do a full afternoon seminar on this. We won't today, obviously. So I had to think, what's the number one thing? The number one thing, if we were to pull that down in our lives, if we were to rein that in, that would make the biggest difference. Kind of like that 80-20 rule. That one thing that can make the biggest difference. What might that be? As I gave thought to it in prayer, I thought out that it's got to be our habits. It's got to be our habits that we have in our lives. And things that we do on this habitual nature, this fleshly nature of ours. And I think if we take a moment just to perhaps even discuss how a habit is formed. Now, for some of us, of course, we're listening to this now. We know this. We understand this. But it helps us understand it a little bit further if we just take that moment now. And a habit is formed so simply, so easily, if we will just, if we repeat a choice that produces an action in our lives, in a situation, time and time and time again. So for example, we feel something. This is usually where it starts, with our feelings. I'm talking about negative habits here at the moment. Yes, you can have good ones, but the negative happen. We feel something, tired maybe, stressed, bored, even hungry. We feel something, and therefore we do something. Maybe, you know, we're just doom scrolling, trying to distract ourselves. Maybe we snack. Maybe we snap at someone. Maybe we look at something that we shouldn't be. We feel something, then we do something, and then from the doing, we get something. We get relief. We get pleasure. We get distraction. We get some kind of comfort from that. And so our brain, It runs like an algorithm, if I can say that. I work in IT, so I use this language, understanding. The brain says, when I feel like this, I do that, and therefore I feel better. Okay, in the IT world, we would say in coding, if this, then that. And it's as simple as that. When I feel this thing, I do that thing, and therefore I begin to feel better. And over a time and time again, as we do this and we repeat this choice, our brain begins to run it, eventually automatically, without much thought. It's a choice, it's a pattern, and it's a reflex. So what might they be? And I need you to spend some time, I hope for this gift you will spend some time having a look into it for yourself. But just a quick list, things I've had to deal with, men that I work with here in the church. Number one, probably outbursts of anger. At home, at work. Interesting, we don't see them at church too often. Maybe it's porn. Maybe it's some other secret sexual sin, I get that. Maybe it's too much drink too often. These are habits that we need to look at and consider. Maybe it's just simply checking out, hiding at work, staying behind just because you don't want to go home. Maybe it's just checking out by doom scrolling and going through that screen. Maybe it's hanging down too much time in the man shed. I get it. I've done these things. Maybe it's just that habit of cutting corners, you know, little white lies, these things along the way. Simply put, these habits First of all, we do the habit. But then sadly, the habit does me. And Romans 6, it talks about this, about how we begin to break that pattern. But first saying that the difference between being a slave to sin versus a slave to righteousness. And Jesus even spoke into this, saying in John 8 that whoever commits sin becomes slave to that sin. So for us, now, here's the unveiling, the unwrapping of the gift. We need to know how to break that pattern. How to stop that in its tracks. And I just want to give you one example here which you can expand on. Oh, I know that you can. This is what I've had to deal with in my own life. For me, it usually began, yes, with the feeling, then the thought. And the thought said, I want to because it makes me feel good. So I came to a conclusion in my discussions with others, with myself, in prayer with the Lord. I've accepted that sometimes I just can't stop a thought from starting. It just happens. But I can, and I do, stop it now from continuing. So I would interrupt the pattern of behavior, the thinking that began right at the top, knowing that I am to be renewed daily in the spirit of my mind. And I would replace a thought with scripture. So not to want to go psychology 101 on you and so on, but let me just give you this one simple idea for exploration, for prayer, for later. Thought replacement. You have a thought, you go, oh, that's not a good thought. I don't want this thought. And you replace it with a scripture. And you have this pre-planned. All right, Lord, today I'm going to think of, let's say, Psalm 119, verse 11. The very first Bible verse I ever learned. I ever memorized, I should say. Thy word I have kept in your heart, in my heart, that I might not sin against me. And then I would question it. What does that mean, Lord? What's this to do with this? How does this work? How do I apply this? And all of a sudden, my thoughts have been interrupted and they are replaced with something of God. This is how we break these habits. And in the doing so, we look here in this scripture to destroy, for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. His victory. Guys, listen carefully. His victory. The victory of the cross at Calvary. Christ was won. It was won with the cross. It was won at the empty tomb. It was done. He spoke those final words and said, it is finished. And now his life in us, this beautiful new power that we have, it's not just me trying to harder to overcome this. I have the Holy Spirit now to help me. And I'm telling you, yes, it is possible that you can stop that thought from continuing. I'm telling you now, it is possible by the grace of God and the power that dwells within. He who is within me is greater than he who is in the world. Remember this. And this, of course, is why it's good to know scripture. But if we're to get honest with ourselves, if we're to embrace this beautiful gift, victory over the enemy, not just to pick up the box, look at it and put it back down again. If we are to embrace it and hold on to it and take it with us always, we must be above all honest with ourselves. Call it what it is. If you've got sin in your life, in patterns of behavior and thinking, admit it. Call it what it is. Call it what God calls it. Sin. No excuses. Accept it. And then bring it to Jesus. Lord, it says here in your word that you came to break the power of the enemy in me. Start here, Father God, here today in me. And then don't fight it alone. If I had to give you these three things here, admit it, bring it to Jesus. And number three, do not fight it alone. Partner up with a godly man who can walk alongside you in this, who can pray with you in this, who will hold you accountable to this. Find someone who can disciple you in the things of God. This first gift, gift number one of Christmas, in Jesus, we do not have to be ruled by our old fleshly habits and the lies that permeate our minds. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, even in me, even in you. So that's like a chain around our neck, broken. But what about the guilt? What about the guilt from what we've already done, that we've already blown it? Well, that's gift number two, freedom. Freedom from the guilt. Have a look at verse 5, just a couple of verses up. I wish I had time to go through this whole section of Scripture. I know I will another time, but for today. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Oh, praise God for that. And again, we see this word, Phanaru, manifested. This was that first Christmas. He appeared. And I challenge you. I challenge you, take a moment to actually look up and to see the 9 different times across the 7 different verses that this Greek word phanerou, often presented here as manifested, but also being revealed in different places as well. Look them up, because it talks about both him and us. And here he was manifested to what? To what? To take away our sins, to lift them off, to carry them off, to remove them. It's like taking that heavy load off your shoulders. This is the purpose of his coming. And the answer as to why and how he can possibly do that, because he is the only one. In him, there is no sin. It says he is the only one, if I can put it this way, who is clean enough to carry that load for us. So I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he made him who knew no sin. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. Listen carefully, that we then may become the righteousness of God. That beautiful transference that takes place because of our faith in Christ at the cross of Calvary and the resurrection. So we're to now take this gift and unwrap it and unpack it and look into it deeply. We need to describe, we need to understand and be honest about the weight that we carry if we are to find freedom from this. We need to name it. The words we've spoken in anger, the things that we did in secret, our failures as husbands, as fathers, as dads, as mates. This is a difficult thing, but I can promise you it is worth it. Men, listen, it is worth it. Because typically, what do? We deny it, we push it aside, we discard it, we try to drown it, perhaps in busyness, just in doing things. Others I've seen in doing good, if I'll just keep doing good, just keep doing good, do the right thing now, it's all gone. But the weight is there, and it's like carrying a backpack full of rocks, heavy, heavy rocks onto our back, 20, 30, 40, 50 kilos. You can still function with it there, yes, but you're never free. It's like that old picture where, you know, you've seen it, you've probably heard it taught that we would take our problems to Jesus and we lay them down at his feet. Father, forgive me for my sin. Thank you very much. Praise God. And then you pick up your problems and you take them back home with you. You need to leave them there. You need to take it off, because Jesus did exactly that at the cross. The sin, our sin, was laid on him. Isaiah 53 says that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And these words were written 750 years before the words that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to remember this. Three things again. I try and work with the three, because it's simple. Forgiven. Your record is wiped clean, folks. Wiped clean. You are now cleansed. And it's like guilt leaves a stain. But that stain, it's been dealt with. And now you are covered. You are forgiven, you are cleansed, and you are covered, and this sin is no longer exposed to God. How many people, I wonder, just a quick side, and this is not me yet, but how many people, I wonder, you through, praise God, you've been able to pay off your house. Some of us are still renting, some of us are still paying off our house, but how many of you received the bank letter, paid in full, all done? How many more weeks, months, years did you continue to pay for that debt which was paid in full? Not much, none. Why would you do that? That'd be a foolish thing to do. So why do you still do that when it comes to your sin and that debt which has been paid for? Guys, you don't need to. And so our response in this is, praise God, simple. We agree with God. Lord, this was sin. I was wrong. You are right. Forgive me for my flesh. You hand it over. Lord Jesus, you came, it says, to take away my sins. I'm giving you this one and the guilt that goes with it. And then you believe, number three, on his words. And you believe them over your feelings. And you believe them over what other people say about you. And when guilt resurfaces or when others try to throw that mud to make it stick, you remind yourself of the words of God here in Holy Scripture. No. That's forgiven. Christ has taken it away. And so for us to take this gift, to embrace it, this second gift, you don't have to carry your sins and your guilt into another year. Let it go. The Son of God was manifested to take it away. And gift three. Oh boy, you know, he doesn't just smash the chains and lift that weight of guilt. No. There is a beautiful another gift. John chapter 10. Turn there for me if you would. John chapter 10, the new life. A whole new kind of life. Yeah, oh yeah. John 10 verse 10. The thief does not come. This is the enemy. He does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus speaking says, I have come that they may have life and that may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That is what we see. That is what our response is. The thief, the enemy, comes to kill, to destroy, to steal, and that's his agenda. But Jesus... Oh, life. Life more abundantly. And I don't mean that in like the worldly sense, in the natural. It's a different kind of life. We're not called to be the same. We are called to be set apart. And if I think, and post-COVID, I got to be careful with my words, but this just came to mind. The old normal versus the new normal. Let me rewrite this in a beautiful way. The old normal, the old man, the old way of living for men. Busy. This was me. Tired. Yes, stressed. Oh my. Numb. The coldness in my heart towards others because of what was going on. Lots of stuff. In my case, lots of money, lots of things, but still empty. It's kind of like, as a kid, we're talking Christmas, kind of like as a kid, you get this beautiful new gift, shiny, whatever it is, oh, you love it, you play with it, it's there, it's just, it's the apple of your eye, it's everything, but over time, what happens? It loses its luster, and we get tired of it. We need something, what, new, and this is where these bad habits often come in that we need to now put away. And that's what the flesh is like. It always needs something new, another shiny red button. But here's the new life, the new normal for us. Listen carefully, folks. It is spiritual. It is spiritual. It is born again. It is reconnected to God. I think of John chapter 3, that beautiful conversation with Nicodemus, with Jesus. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he clarifies this to remove the misunderstanding, water and the Spirit. He says that which is flesh, that which is born of the flesh, the water is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. Do not marvel, he says, that I say you must be born again. And that now is us through our faith in Christ at the cross of Calvary and his resurrection for our sins, the price paid. And this new life brings about for us, it should, a new center, a new focus, Christ being that center, not self. It brings about the Holy Spirit, this new power that we have dwelling within us. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. That same Spirit that hovered over the waters at the very beginning and spoke creation into being now dwells in us. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to the disciples, waiting for this first time when the Holy Spirit would be released from heaven to dwell in the hearts of men, saying, stay, wait, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, because through faith in Christ, in his name, the victory is manifest. And therefore our new purpose should be living to please God, not just to get by. And this is the new gift as we unpack it and as we look into it and we explore its richness. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians that whether we live, we are to make it our aim, whether we are present, whether we are absent, to be pleasing to him. And I say this to those men who are in church on a Sunday, whether you are there or whether you are at home or at work or on the cricket pitch, wherever you may be, your life is to be pleasing to him. This is the new purpose that we have in Christ. We are not to be one man in church and another at home. Oh my. So three quick things. Let's start to wrap this up. Three quick things that we can do to step into, to open, unpack, and live this gift of the abundant new life. First things first, just begin to live it as you are now, born again. And if you don't understand that, you can find understanding in Scripture. This is why I'm always saying, please read the Word, seek to understand. And then the fruit of your life, the expression of that new life, will be manifest, made real, present in your life. And it's not just, as I mentioned earlier, it's not just about trying harder. This is about trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross. This is about living and believing that the resurrection is there for you and was there for you, and living it every single day, surrendering yourself unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 tells us that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. David wrote in the Psalms, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, he said. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. This is where we understand that if we mess up on one day, we can wake the next and know, because it's written in his word, that his mercies are new every morning. Oh, my Lord. Absolutely. Live your new life and shift the center. Put God in the middle. Ask, Lord, what would please you here, at work, at home, not just, well, what do I feel like doing? No, Lord, what would please you here? This is a conscious decision that we have to make to step into it. And number three, then we walk in new habits. Simple, small steps. Let me give you two. Read your Bible daily and pray daily. Obedience in small things, small, simple steps. Have fellowship with other believers. Serve with other believers. Yes, small, simple steps. And here we see these incredible three beautiful gifts. Gift three of Christmas, Jesus just did not come to keep you out of hell, so to speak. He came to bring you into a full, rich life with God, starting now, lasting forever. Our eternal life begins from that moment where we come to Christ. It doesn't begin when we die and enter into heaven. It begins now. We are living it now, so take these gifts, embrace them, learn of them, live them. Three gifts. If you haven't taken any notes yet, urge you, I plead with you, please pause this video, grab a pen and paper, write these down. Gift number one, we have victory over the enemy. We do not have to be ruled by the same old habits. Gift number two, we have freedom. We have it. Freedom from guilt. We do not have to carry around the weight of our past. It is laid on Christ at the cross. And gift number three, abundant life. You don't have to just exist day to day, job to job, moment to moment. You can truly live abiding in Christ. And so, perhaps for you now in video at the men's breakfast, we do this in our groups, tables, 5-6 people per table. Points of discussion, two things. First is a question. Which of these three gifts do you need most? Which of these do you need to really lay hold of this Christmas? Do you need victory over a habit? Do you need freedom from some particular guilt that you're carrying around? Maybe you just need a fresh start in your walk with Christ and that real abundant life. You need to step into it. Which of those do you need most? And then when you know that, when you identify that, please take a moment after this video to consider that. I want you to make note of one step. What is one step that you can make? What is one step that you can take today? Today. This morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever time it is for you right now, wherever you are in the world watching this, can you take today? Do you have to confess a habit? Do you have to get real? Confess to yourself, this is a bad habit. Maybe you need to hand over a specific sin. Find a safe place, someone you can pray with. And ask Jesus to be the center again of your life. Talk it over with a brother. Talk it over with a pastor. Talk it over with an elder, someone. This is what we do in our men's breakfasts, in our discussions afterwards. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. These three beautiful gifts for Christmas for men today, this Christmas. Let me close with a prayer. I want to pray for you this Christmas as we start to close out this year. Father God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your Son. Lord, I pray for the men who might listen to this here today to do the work in them that you would do it. Break the chains that hold them back. Father, break those chains. Free them, release them from the guilt that they hold in their lives. And Lord, breathe new life into them. Let them experience a taste, a moment, a touch of that beautiful new life, abundant life in Christ. I pray, Father, for everyone and anyone listening to this here right now today, that you would give these three gifts to them and open their hearts that they may receive them. And I pray for this in the name of Jesus, God in the flesh, you who gave your Son that he would die for us, in this name, resurrected to new life. In this name, I pray. Amen. Talk soon. Bye-bye.